Hey everybody, welcome to Unlocking Truth with Pastor Dan McCluskey. Here's today's message.
Hey friends, welcome to today's broadcast. Have you ever felt weak or just lost? Do you feel out of strength when it comes to your job, relationships, or even maybe as your role as a parent? Well, you're not alone. We can all feel this way in some point in our life, and I believe today's message, it's going to help you find strength and power to overcome these feelings. Listen, your life is not doomed, and you can find that inner mojo again. God's designed us all to live an empowered life. So let's allow His Word to unlock the truth concerning strength in times of weaknesses. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 14, and we'll read through to verse 20. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. For all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I just thought I'd have to read that one again, because that's speaking to us. That's speaking to me and you right now. Now, I want you to notice verse 16. It says to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with might. Paul is communicating to the Father. Okay, so he's praying. He's communicating, praying for the believers in Ephesus. And what we see here, he's praying for us as well. He's praying that they would be strengthened. Now, we wouldn't be praying for this if everyone was strong, right? I mean, if everybody's on top of their game, if everybody's walking with power and authority in life and everything's working out just fine. No, he says, I want all of you to be strengthened in might. Hey, listen, he understands life's battles. Paul's gone through all kinds of battles. He understands the pressures that exist not only in the Christian walk, but life itself. God's word is real, people. God's word is relevant. It's for you and me today. And when our outlook in life is just like we're just existing, it's robbing you. It's robbing you of your destiny. It's robbing you of your full purpose. It can't be this way. And I know things can happen in life that just sucks the life out of us. But I'm telling you, God's got answers in His word. And this word is for me and you today. So let's allow it to impact our lives, okay? Now let's look at this word. The word strengthen means to make strong, to be inwardly strengthened. Now, the word might, remember it said strengthen with might. The word might follows the word strengthen and shows us what type of strength. And this is awesome. The word might in the Greek is the word dunamis. And this is where we get the English word for dynamite. Explosive power. The word means to have explosive ability. This explosive power, the ability to perform anything, gives strength and capability, power and action. Oh my gosh. Man, I'm getting pumped up just listening to this. He's telling us that he prays, he communicates to the Father for us to have this inward explosive ability to accomplish anything. Now that is strength. Now remember, Paul's praying, but he's also praying exactly what the Holy Spirit is showing him to pray. Remember, this is God's written word to us. He's wanting us to see we can have strength in times of weakness, when things aren't going well, when we're losing hope, when relationships are rocky, when the job issue is producing more stress than what it should producing, an ability to provide. And we're going through life allowing these things to happen. And we need to look at the Word of God. We need to allow this Word to come alive within us. And we receive this information. We see these truths. And that's why I'm unlocking them, so that we can all learn to operate in what God's will is for us. And Paul's saying it's strength. He wants us to have strength in a time of weakness. And this is why he led Paul to speak this truth out. Please know this. It's for you. It's for me right now. Paul's not telling of a life. He's not sharing this information just out of hearsay or something that he just, it's an opinion of his. He's already been living this life. He operates in this. Let me see. Listen to this. This is from Romans chapter 8, and it's in the Message Bible, but it really speaks this out perfectly. Starting in verse 35, Paul says this: "Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing or violent death separate us from his love? No. As scripture says, they kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one." Now he's talking about an Old Testament scripture. He says, none of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. Paul says in verse 38, I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus our Master has embraced us. Oh my gosh. Is that just so beautiful? I know you can go through life and you can have questions concerning God's love for you and God's view concerning you. But you know what? That's only because His Word is not the foundation of your life. You've allowed religion. You've allowed people and their past, their circumstances, your circumstances. These are based upon hearsay. It's based upon feelings. It's based upon opinions. We've got to allow God's Word to be our authority. God's Word, people are going to lie. People are going to deceive. People are going to let down. But God's Word's never changed. It was written thousands of years ago. It's still the same. It is real. It's alive. And it's relevant. It's for me and you. Understand that Jesus loves you. And no matter what, nothing is going to create a wedge between His love for you and us. It's just not going to happen. Now, we can feel out of connection, but He'll never feel out of connection. He loves you. And that's it. Paul said, I'm persuaded. I'm sold out on this truth. It's real to me. And this guy went through all kinds of hell. And what he's saying is what the Bible wants us to understand. God is madly in love with you. He loves us with great love, and it isn't going to stop. So here we have Paul showing us his life of how he feels. He's communicating to the believers in Ephesus, including us, and saying, I want you strengthened. Listen, God gives us victory and more victory. We don't need to fear life or death, things present or things to come, because Jesus Christ loves us and he gives us the victory. Listen, friend, this is not a promise with conditions attached. If you do this, God's going to do that. No, this security is in Christ. It's an established fact, and we need to claim it for ourselves because we are in Christ. Nothing can separate you from his love. Hey, with his love, we can win. We will win. Now, what Paul is doing is he's sharing a story with us of how we too can operate in this supernatural strength. Paul's prayer was based on his knowledge of God's word and his relationship with God. To make this prayer even better, he was not praying for himself, but for the believers at Ephesus, and ultimately for us right now. So, make this prayer personal. Adapt it into our own prayer life. Let's put it into our lives, and let's speak it over our lives. Hey, I do this. And I do it all the time. I pray this for our church, my family, my life, all the time. And you can do this as well. It's your word. It's your word from God. He loves you. Now let's get to this stuff, okay? Listen, on a side note, I want us all to understand that these prayers, God's word, for a matter of fact, I mean, as far as when we're looking at this word, it's not just for the hurting or the weak. This is for everyone. If your life's good or bad, if you're having ups or downs, it doesn't matter. It's just, I don't want you to think it's just this little crutch out there. I mean, it is a crutch, but when we need one, but it's for everyone, up or down. I'm telling you, it's for good or bad. You can't assume that everything is going to be good, and you can't assume that everything is going to be bad. Listen, don't assume that if everything's going fine, you don't need this. And this is so important to understand. This is vital to understand as a follower of Jesus. Because the tendency is we shut this thing, we'll turn this thing off. If everything's going well, I don't need this. And that is totally, completely against what God's word shows us. I'll show you in Ephesians chapter 1. We were looking at chapter 3. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 19, Paul's going to show us exactly what I'm talking about. He says this, therefore, I also, now listen to this, listen very carefully. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Now, what did he say? After I heard of your faith, how you're walking this walk, how you're walking in this faith walk that God has given you, how you're on top and you're strong, and that you're walking in love for all the believers. This is a strong position. This is a position of success. And he follows this with, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And then he's going to communicate. He's going to show us exactly what he prayed, what he prays, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge of him, that your eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. I speak this over my life in our church all the time. It's just a powerful word. But notice what he says. He says, I pray for you. What? Yeah. Here he is saying that, you know, I hear good things about you. I hear that you walk in love, you know, and he's saying, I pray for you. I pray for your eyes to be open. I pray. And he's talking about people that are doing well. This truth is so vital for a successful life. We must never stop communicating with God, especially when things are all going good. Remember, he said, after he heard everything was great, he prayed for them. Listen, this is usually when people stop praying, not begin. This is a principle we should all need. We all need this. We should pray for our growth in Christ more than our problems in life. Paul's not satisfied with the person just being a Christian. No, he wanted them to grow in the Word of God, to become strong followers of Jesus. He wanted us to become disciples, strong followers of Jesus. Now, let's get back to the prayer in Ephesians 3. Now, Paul is communicating to the Father, or shall I say, our Heavenly Father is communicating to us what it is to live a supernatural, strengthened life. Paul prayed for the Ephesian believers to be strengthened. In the verses that I read, I also see four awesome blessings involved in the supernatural strengthened life. The first thing I say is he prayed for them that by the Holy Spirit that lives in them, that they would increase in inner strength and power, might. Our strength for daily life does not come from our own willpower or determination. Although it begins with our choice, it comes from the strength of the Holy Spirit. We're not self-made Christians, but Holy Spirit-made Christians. The Holy Spirit, he not only saved us, but he recreated us. He lives inside of us. Listen, we have to pay attention to what this word is showing us, what it's revealing to us. God came to live inside us. Jesus lives inside of you. He'd rather live in you than any place that he's ever created. Remember, we're not a temple made with the hands of men. The Holy Spirit moved into a temple built by God. He not only wants to live in us, but he wants to be a part of us. He wants to be connected in our life, in our decisions, in our choices. Listen, God's will for our life is better than we could ever desire for ourselves. But he's not going to force his will over us. He's asking us to believe. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, direct us. This is so important. The second thing I see is Paul prayed that Jesus, who lives in them, would be at home in their hearts. You ever been in a house or lived in a house you didn't feel like home? I mean, it's a structure, but there was no attachment to it. The homes that is right for you, you can detect it usually right away. I mean, you can feel it. You can sense it. I mean, I've lived in apartments where I like going, wow, you know, I'm just living here. I didn't feel home at all. I mean, it's just where I went to bed, where I ate. And there was no feeling of home. I guarantee you that. Now, that doesn't mean if you live in an apartment, you can never feel at home. But what I'm saying is, for me personally, it never felt like home. And Jesus is not looking for a place to, you know, just to be able to nap. He's not looking for a house. Jesus is looking for a home. And when he moved into your heart, that's what he found. And he sets up a permanent residence in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Your word says you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that just shows me that he's not going by feelings. He's going by he's driven by love. He's driven by love. And in my life, he has his home set up. And I'm sure it's the same with you. You just need to know that that's his view concerning you. Okay. Now, the third thing, Paul prayed that they would gain a greater understanding of God's word. Now, success in the Christian life is it's directly tied to our knowledge and understanding of God's word. This is so important to understand. Understanding, in other words, is the revelation. It's the illumination of the truth of God's word. It's seeing these promises come to life. Listen, it's one thing to know the scripture, but it's quite different. It's quite another thing to have the light, the word to come on, and there, you start seeing the meaning of the verse. And believe me, this type of revelation, this type of knowledge, it doesn't come just by reading the Bible. It comes by studying it. You're not trying to get through a chapter. You want the chapter to get into you. You want the verse to get into you. You look at the Word of God in a different light when you're seeing how this Word is written concerning you personally. It's a love letter for you, to you. And that's what I do. When I open up the Word of God, I put my name in there. I put my life in there. I see God's Word, and just like Paul says, I want you to be strengthened. I say, and the Father says, Daniel, I want you to be strengthened in might. And I don't even need to read further. It just comes alive within me. And I want this to happen to you. I want us all to be able to receive this living word in this manner. Oh, God loves us, and this word is alive, and it will transform you. It will make you new, brand new. But we've got to receive it. So understand, the word of God is so important to be studied. And I mean, even 2 Timothy 2:15 says that we show ourselves approved unto God by studying his word. So we get this word and we study and we pay attention to it. Listen, memorizing scripture is not the same as studying. Oh man, over the years of ministry, I've seen people that they've memorized just so much more scripture than I could ever think about. And their lives are so screwed up. I mean, messed up people. People that had no image, no view, a correct view of their lives. And I mean freakiness. But they had the scripture memorized. Why? Because it was in their head. That's it. It was just in their head. Nowhere else, in their head. It wasn't in their heart. It was just in their head. So we have to understand that when you receive the word of God, it comes by meditating on. And this meditation is you're thinking, you're examining, and you're seeing this word in your life. It's not, you know, it may not be entire verse or chapter or whatever, but I'm telling you, even a portion of a verse or even a word in a verse all of a sudden can become illuminated in our lives. This is the power of the living word. When it becomes real to us, then it will become an integral part of our lives and our walk of faith. But we've got to allow this word to penetrate, to get into our hearts. When we memorize scripture or we go through the process of thinking that we can just speak scripture through the memorized thought process, that's not living life at all. I mean, even a parrot can repeat something it hears. You know what I'm saying? So we've got to get hold of this word and it become life within us. The fourth thing I see that Paul prayed is for them to be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God. And this fullness, that would encompass every area of life. That's including the physical, the natural, health, prosperity, happiness, joy, peace, friends, relationships, marriages, family. I mean, this involves every area. And that's what God's wanting. The fullness of God in us all. And Paul saved this part for the last because it's the product of the first three areas of prayer. It's the outward blessings. And these outward blessings begin and manifest in our lives with inward spiritual growth first. Do you see this? This inward strength in our own lives and the lives of others begins with a choice, not a supernatural manifestation from heaven. No, a choice. We're often, you know, we often ask God to do what he's already done, or we ask for God to do something we're supposed to do. That's religion. That's pure religion. We need to start paying attention to the scripture. Pay attention to what God's word says. Listen, becoming strong in the Lord begins with our decision to do our part in becoming spiritually strong. God does not want us to ask him to make us strong. He's already provided strength. We've got the power. Strength has already been provided. Listen, begin by seeing yourself as already strong. Rise up in what God has already given you. Choose to be strong. To be strong is a command in both the Old and New Testaments. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." He says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." That's what the word's speaking to us right now. I choose this. I choose that word over my life. When God was talking to Joshua, he said, "Be strong and of good courage." If you look at the first chapter in Joshua, he's talking to the new Moses, and he's telling Joshua, "Listen, this is what you're going to need to go into the promised land. This is what you're going to need to get hold of your inheritance, your promises that I've already given you." What? Yeah, exactly. We've got all kinds of promises in God's word, thousands. But a lot of us don't receive it because why? We're not walking in strength and courage to receive. We're allowing our lives to deny us this truth. We're allowing bad decisions or a past to deny us this truth. It's time to stop. Right now, it's time to stop this. Yeah, you weren't perfect and you're not going to be perfect. You had a messed up life and you might still be messed up. But I'm telling you what, if you receive Jesus, you're a new creation. If you see it or not, it doesn't matter. It's what is happened in your life. And it's time for you to receive the truth. You cannot have change until that truth becomes a reality. You're going to keep thinking the negative way, thinking the old way, and it'll keep you functioning that way. You are today by how you thought yesterday, and it's time to start thinking right today, right now. And God told Joshua, "Listen, you got to be strong and have good courage. If you're going to get the people into the land and to get them their inheritance," and he says, "which I swore to give them," he says, "you got to be strong and courageous. And by doing that, you're able to observe the word of God correctly. You can look at the word incorrectly and create religious life from it. Why? How do I know that? Because the Pharisees and scribes did it. People do it today. There's all kinds of religious groups out there, and they have Bibles. But that doesn't mean they're going to be free or walking in God's plan for their life or living this free life, this abundant life, just because they have a Bible. I mean, we grew up with a Bible in our house, and it didn't change us. Actually, as a matter of fact, we were all scared of it. I believe my parents just thought, or at least my mom thought, that it would, you know, bring some good luck in our home. I mean, that's pretty much it. No one opened it. No one read it. I mean, it was a big Bible sitting in our house. And that's it. You know, this is like a four-leaf clover or something, you know, good luck charm. But listen, if that word doesn't get inside you and you believe it, you're not going to be able to be strong and courageous, and you're going to lose out on everything that God wants for you. And that's not right. You just can't do it. Yes, I know things can be tough, and we can look, you know, in life and see a lot of pain and things like that. But remember, that look is from behind, not forward. Your forward look is vision. And as you look forward in life, it's your choice. You're either going to look through the eyes and lenses of your past, or you're going to look through the eyes and lenses of God's word. It's going to be your choice. And hopefully you're seeing that this way that you've been living, you know, it ain't working. And it's actually making us miserable. And we're not living the life that Jesus came to give us. And we have to do this. It's just the right thing to do. We need to allow God's love to work in us and through us. Okay? Now let's understand that strength is a process. All right? Once you receive God's strength, it will then have the opportunity to grow. It's just like a muscle. It's like anything in life. You have a level of strength, and to be able to produce more strength, the increase has to be exercise, right? And exercising strength, as far as our Christian walk, is belief, believing. And so the strength that comes from God, it can grow as we believe and exercise that strength. We must choose to gain and grow in strength God's way, not ours. And through time, God's going to exchange his strength and power for our weakness. The scripture says, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even young men shall faint and be weary, and shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll exchange their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31. Listen, friend, I want you to break free. I want the frown to be turned upside down. I want your life to get hold of this and for you to start seeing God's love and desire for it to be better, your life to be better. I believe that your life can and will change. Listen, I hope this strength and truth has helped you. I truly believe that your life will be strengthened and you can overcome this weak part of it. This feeling of lack or loneliness, this feeling of maybe life isn't worth living. Those are all lies. Lies of the past and lies of the enemy. And it's just not who you are. You are a child of God. God loves you, and he's well pleased with you. I believe that hope will arise in your heart, and your outlook in your life will change from hopelessness to hope. I believe that you will never be the same again and that you'll walk in the power of His might. I believe this, and that's why I speak this over you, Mighty One. I believe that this word was not only for you, but for me, and I know that I know that I know we can arise and become strengthened and empowered because it's the promise of God's word to us. I love you, man. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Unlocking Truth with Pastor Dan McCluskey. To hear more encouraging messages just like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. If you love what you received, please consider rating it and sharing it with your friends and family. For more great content just like this, visit PastorDanMcCluskey.com.